good evening. I do have a question for you, and I will admit that this is generally not the talking congregation, but if you are so bold, by all means respond aloud. We're in this together. Do you all have a favorite TV family? Anyone? A favorite family on TV? Huh? What? A Parenthood. Oh man, that's a real crier. Whew! I cried so much watching that one. Marone? Barone is actually a TV show? You all amaze me sometimes. Okay. Okay, very good. I know everybody loves Raymond. Very good.
The Neighborhood.
The Neighborhood? Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. The Andy Griffith Show. Someone did mention that earlier. Yes, it does tend to like put you at a certain age, but you know, very good. Yeah, there you go. There was also Family Matters. Did you all watch Family Matters? Yeah, TGIF with Urkel. Yeah. Beverly Hillbillies. Wow, I love that. Yes. Modern Family, very nice. I will tell you my favorite. My favorite is the Gilmore Girls. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. I can't help myself, right? I love all these various families on TV because they're all funky in their own way, right? Like they all, like none of them, at least these days, I don't know about the Andy Griffith Show. I'm thinking probably that was more standard. No? Not even then? All the way back then? Huh. I need to be educated, clearly, on the Andy Griffith Show. So, but I love that these families are so unique. Like, they're all different, they're all quirky, and they all have problems, right? And I just have to tell you that even as unique as they all are, none of them are quite like the family of Jesus. It's true. I don't know how much you all know about the Holy Family, as they have come to be known, but it's tough, right? It's a complicated situation that they find themselves in. We all know the story, right? We know the Christmas story. It's fairly well known. But, you know, we both revere this family, right? Because they are the Holy Family in which Jesus, the Savior of the world, is born. But don't we also feel a little sorry for them? Right? Because my goodness, everything that they went through, they are forced by the whims of the Roman occupiers, right? To leave home and to travel even while Mary is pregnant. And when they do arrive, there's no place for them to stay, right? They do not have any place to stay. And then when they do land, they are at least among the family of Joseph, the distant family of Joseph, probably, though he has brought along this betrothed, this not quite married person, who, by the way, is pregnant, and he's not the baby daddy, right? And Mary is then welcomed among Joseph's relatives, seemingly, but certainly there must be some apprehension given the situation. She must have, I would imagine, felt quite lonely. I think that too often we assume that the miracle of Christmas is the virgin birth, right? Because no one can have that excuse ever again, right? Well, it was the Holy Spirit that did it, right? But what if that is not the miracle of Christmas? According to a very different version of the story that we'll hear at the very end of this service tonight, according to the Gospel of John, the miracle of Christmas is that the Word became flesh and lived among us. But I don't really think that quite gets to the miracle of it either. I don't think that quite reaches it. What if the miracle of Christmas is that despite how messed up the situation is at the birth of Jesus to a poor family, threatened by a ruthless king, among animals and people who are not the close family, at least, of Mary, to a family that is homeless and entirely dependent on the kindness of distant relatives and perfect strangers, to a Roman Empire that has no interest in the well-being of these non-citizens, but only power and control. But despite all that, Jesus is born, and love happens. Jesus seemingly is loved into this world, and the love of Jesus has moved trillions of people to faith and to acts of love. That Jesus, born to a world of pain, did not perpetuate pain as we so often see. That Jesus, born with little family to surround him, yet welcomes us all into God's family. Well, I have a little bit of a family story to tell, and no, Mom, it's not about our family, so it's okay. Don't be worried. This is about a family in Hollandtown. You all know Hollandtown? Hollandtown happens to be where I live, and about a month ago, I heard a story of a member of our community there. She talked about when she was growing up in a poor immigrant family that... there came a day when Susanna, that's her name, her mom directed them all to try to find any change that they could in the house because they had no money. And they were all hungry. They were always on the edge, but that day they had nothing and they had no way to feed themselves. And so she sent them off and they searched in every nook and cranny of the house and gathered all the change that they could find. And in the end they had 10 cents. Now, I mean, this is a few decades ago, but even a few decades ago, that can't buy a meal for a family of five. Can't even buy it for one. And so it came that a little while later, a neighbor knocked on the door and said, "You know, I really need to feed my family, but I can't quite gather enough to buy this pound of chicken I need to make this meal. Could I borrow some money?" And, "Well, I can't buy anything with this 10 cents." "Sure, you have it." To the great frustration of her children, including Susanna. But then later that afternoon, this neighbor came back and she had fed her family of eight with this chicken and came and brought Susanna's family their leftovers. And it got them through that day. And she said that that experience changed her whole outlook because she realized that she was not alone, that their family, though struggling, was not alone. I think you all know that there are too many in this world, either born to or eventually left to a great sense of loneliness. Of not belonging, of not belonging to anyone, to a sense of community, to a sense of family, to a sense of connectedness. What if Christmas invites us to not allow ourselves or anyone we happen to encounter to feel left out? What if Christmas insists that we belong to one another? As Joseph belonged to Mary, though all sensibilities would say that he would do better if he just left her and her baby alone. As Mary belonged to Joseph, though Mary, as she has come to be known, is the Theotokos, the God-bearer. She was in communion with the heavens, and yet she belonged to Mary, as much as Phil belongs to Liz, and Liz to Phil. As Mary and Joseph belonged to Bethlehem, though they did not choose to be there, they were forced there, and yet the community gathered around them and made sure that Jesus was brought into this world. As the shepherds belonged to Bethlehem, despite their being strangers, and in all likelihood, they came with an odor, and yet they belonged to the Holy Family. As Jesus belongs not only to God the Father, not only to Mary, and by extension to Joseph, not only to Jesus' friends and disciples, but to all of us, and to every lonely and lost soul out there. You know, tonight as we wrap up Christmas Eve together in this space, Phil, sitting right in front of me, Phil is going to sing one of the classics of Christmas Eve. As we light our candles, he will sing the beautiful carol, "O Holy Night." You know that one, right? I don't know how closely you can pay attention to the words because the music itself is beautiful, but the third verse has cried out to me, and these are the words of the third verse. "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease." We belong to one another. Well, because of Christmas, because Jesus was born to us, to humanity, to all the world. In fact, if you go way back to the beginning, as Deacon Doug did in our proclamation, the beginning, we were all created in God's own image. From the very beginning, we were made to be family, to be dependent upon each other in community. And then when Jesus was born among us, Jesus adopted us yet again into God's family, doubling down on that promise that we were made for one another. And so the story of Christmas continues with you. As you welcome lonely people into your circle of trust and love, as after what may be for you years of loneliness and distrust, you open up enough to be let in, may you know belonging. May you know the love of Jesus in one another. In Jesus' name, amen.